There's three of you smart enough to know what that meant. So. Psalm 119 has 175 verses. That's why I laughed. Psalm 119 is amazing. It's an amazing psalm. The whole idea of it put together. Now I'm going to read you a little background on this psalm that's in my Scofield Study Bible, just so I can quickly summarize it. That way you'll have an idea. The psalm, born of love for the law of God, extols the beauties and excellencies of the written word of God in a way found nowhere else in the Bible. God's word is treated under these designations: law, testimonies, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, words, and ordinances. Judgments and ordinances are translations of the same Hebrew word. Only verse 90, 121, 122, and 132, four verses, do not give a synonym for the law. So in other words, every other verse has a word that's making reference to the word of God. The shades of meaning in the words employed are as follows. Law is primarily instruction or teaching, legal pronouncements, rules of divine administration, then all of God's revelation for life. Word is speech or utterance, a general word for disclosure of God's will. Ordinances, also judgments, refer to legal pronouncements, rules of divine administration. Commandments are authoritative orders used as religious principles. Precepts relate to man's moral obligations as enjoined by God. Testimonies indicate God's own declarations concerning his nature and purpose. Statutes refer elsewhere to civil and religious appointments of the Mosaic law. The word way is used as a synonym for all of these terms. So when he says in the way or the way. And so in reality, all of that means in essence, all of those terms are used describing different aspects of the Word of God, but still all referring to the same thing, the basic Word of God. God's Word can be trusted in every way, in its judgments, in its pronouncements of blessing, in its pronouncements of encouragement, in its pronouncements regarding helping a person come back to the right way. They've gone away from the Lord where they're being reproved. And so, in essence, if you go to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, those statements there where the Word of God reproves, rebukes, exhorts, and instructs, as you look at those are still kind of an overall description of what these things are saying about the Word of God. Again, as you look at it, you'll notice Psalm 119 starts above it, has the word Aleph. Okay, what letter of the Hebrew alphabet is that? Which letter is it? First letter, okay. It's A as in our alphabet. So when you think of that for a moment, you go to just above verse 9 and you see Beth. What's that in reference to in our alphabet? B. So as you go through, you'll find it goes through the Hebrew alphabet. Gimel, Daleth. Of course, Gimel would be G, and that's not the next one in ours. So it's different in that regard. But yet you have Gimel, Daleth, and as you go through the different parts. Under each part are eight verses. Each of those eight verses, if we were looking at this in Hebrew, and if we could read it in Hebrew, under Aleph, all the verses would start with the Aleph, or the A. Under Beth, all the verses would start with the Beth symbol, and all the way through. And then poetically, much of it's written to rhyme. Now, the purpose was, when you understand the Psalms, again, we could call them songs. And so we talk about the songs of David. They were written for a purpose, just like today, a lot of the songs. And if you'll hear children singing them, I love verse songs. But if you'll hear verse songs that are written in a way that really works, you'll hear kids singing the verse, and they can learn the verse much quicker than sometimes just trying to say the verse. And even you could too. We need to probably in church teach some verse songs That way you would all have that verse and be able to go with it, because there's just something about a song that keeps it in your mind. The students, the kids in Hebrew homes, were schooled in the local synagogue and at home. And in the synagogues, guess what they used as a basis for their instruction? The Old Testament. Okay, as they used it that way, they would use the Psalms as a teaching method. They would teach the kids the songs, and of course it sounds different than the way we sing, but they would teach them the songs. Then the kids could go away, and eventually young people actually knew the whole 119th Psalm by memory in song. And because of that, they had a very strong understanding of the importance of God's Word. And they had a very clear understanding of all the blessings and things that were involved in God's Word. And many of the Psalms that we read, we can stop and see different time periods they were reading, written, the different distresses that David was going through at the time, the issues that he was facing, either with King Saul, with other enemies that they were facing, and things that they were going through. And he would write a psalm in regard to that, but it wasn't just a psalm, it was a song. And then he would sing of God's deliverance at the end, and God's blessing, and the attributes of God, the goodness of God, greatness of God, and the fact that he could trust God. If just for a moment, turn back a few pages to Psalm 91, as you just read the first few verses there, you can see the encouragement. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. And then it goes on, surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from perilous pestilence. Now, snare of the fowler, today we don't use, we don't use a lot of the same hunting techniques that they did with using falcons and different things like that, birds of prey and everything, and then snares that were set up to catch different birds and different animals. And so those terms we would translate to a different way today to help us understand it better. But the idea is, speaking of God's deliverance, even from wickedness, from evil, from the different things that come against us. As we come to Psalm 119, as I was reading just the other day, I was reading it for my devotions. I thought, well, I think I'll just start rereading Psalm 119. But rather than read the whole psalm, I'm just going to take a day and meditate on Aleph, and then I'll take a day and meditate on Beth, and kind of in that way. Well, that only worked for so long, because then I was excited to see what was coming next. But at the same time, I still just wanted to do that just for myself. As I was doing that, some thoughts came to mind here in the very first part that I thought, man, I'd like to share that with everybody else. And so as we look at Psalm 119, verse 1, we are start out with the word blessed. The word blessed. Blessed is a term we use today, Lord bless you, and we use it kind of innocuously or in a way where it doesn't have a depth of meaning sometimes. And the kind of blessing that God is speaking of is a blessing where it affects every part of your body and it affects every part of your experience in your life. In other words, it's a blessing that's inside that affects it touches every aspect of your approach to everything you're going to do. And so blessed is a positive thing. It's an inward joy that we can only explain because God in providence is over all the situations in life. I find myself every day discouraged or worrying about certain circumstances and certain situations. And then I'm rebuffed, as it were, in my thinking as I begin to look at God and all that's there and realize there's not an experience that I'm going to face. There's not a difficulty that I'm going to come against that God doesn't already know about, and that he doesn't already have a plan to take care of it if I would just yield to him. And sometimes, you know, it's kind of like it surprises me, so I'm thinking it's also surprising God. It doesn't surprise him. He knows about it. That passage we read this morning, no temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man. God will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. What that's telling us, again, is God knows of what you're going to face. And even though the temptation seems great, he says, I'll never let it be greater than what you can handle. So whether it's a test or a temptation, he says, in both cases, I will give you the strength to get through it. I already know what it's going to be. I already know what you're going to face. All you got to do is trust me and do that. Now, again, we face things and we come back on ourselves, as Peter did, in a way, trust our own strength. And then we're wondering why we don't have the blessing of God. We feel defeated. We feel the pressures of everything around us weighing upon us. And we're thinking, what in the world? Where am I? What's going on? And that's why it's so important for us, I believe, to dwell as much as we can on the Psalms a lot with other scripture, because it constantly brings us back to God, his strength, his power, his ability to overcome anything, his providence, as well as his being almighty and all-powerful in every circumstance that we face. So as I understand who God is, then I come here to 119, and he said, blessed. Now, the reason that's important is I have to know who God is first, so I can trust the fact that it says here, blessed is this person. So the Almighty God, the God of heaven, the God of that providentially oversees all affairs of this world and everything around us, God who has the strength to throw the worlds in place, God who has the strength to create the earth and all that's on it, God who his love is so great that he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die on our behalf, his only begotten Son, who was God himself, that God says you're going to be blessed if you follow what he's going to say here in this passage. So can we trust it? Yeah, because of who he is, we can trust what it says. Now, the next thing is, and again, this is where it takes some good sense. If I said, Hunter Temple, if I told you, I said, when you leave today, be careful, because the bridge down there, going over the river on your way to the house, I noticed some cracks and some places in it where it looked like it might be starting to crumble. So when you get down there, just don't just drive over it, go inspect it and everything before you go across, because there's some real difficulties there, so you need to watch out. Now, if Hunter said, I'm just going to do what I want to do, I'm not going to worry about that, and he takes right off, and all of a sudden we find him down in the water, we would all feel sorry for him, and we would be upset because he'd probably be hurt and all kinds of things. But at the same time, whose fault was it that he was in the water, and whose fault was it that he got hurt? His. He'd been warned. He'd been given clear direction that the bridge was weak. There was a problem down there in the bridge. And we can use all kinds of illustrations. At the same time, if I told him, I'd say, Hunter, if you go down to the store, I've already talked to them down there, and they've got $200 worth of groceries sitting there in a couple bags waiting on you. If you'll go down there, I told them you'd be there before 2 o'clock, and I told them you'd be wearing a red tie, and you know that you tell them your name's Hunter, and you go in there. Now, if Hunter said, I don't believe that, would he get the groceries? No. I mean, he wouldn't have that blessing, because he didn't follow the detail of what I had said. If he walked in without a red tie, they're going to be questioning him. I gave him exact detail how this was going to work, and he walks out with $200 worth of groceries. Now, he doesn't care about, well, maybe he does, $200 worth of groceries, but that would be a blessing. We could use it about anything, but the details are important, because that's what how the promise is going to be fulfilled, is by following the details. Now, God here says, blessed, and we think of that when we go back to Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And you go on through that passage. Okay, God says, blessed. And in fact, in that passage, it's double blessing. In other words, God is giving a tremendous blessing to this individual. Explains exactly what's going to happen, how it's going to happen. So as we start out here, blessed are the undefiled in the way. Now, the way is following God. So in other words, Blessed are those who don't live in sin while following God. That makes sense, doesn't it? Who walk in the law of the Lord. So as believers here today, we can have people here today who are born again, but they're still following the world's ideas on how to be happy. In other words, God's word says don't live immorally. And yet, I feel like, okay, God's trying to keep me from some certain joy that I would like to have, so it's okay for me to go ahead and be immoral. Statistics, I'm blown away. Every day they're changing and they're getting worse. Right now, if you can imagine, men in Bible-believing churches, they're saying 70% regularly see pornography. 70%. That's the new statistic. Pastors, they're saying 50%. Now, when you look at that kind of statistic, and yet God's word speaks of immorality and speaks of all those things, what does that bring to your mind immediately where these individuals are regularly, purposefully avoiding what God's word is saying? Do they believe that they're going to be blessed if they follow the way, direction that God designs or lays down? No, they're claiming to be believers, and yet they're walking in a defiled way, aren't they? They're walking in a sinful way. And it says, who walk in the law of the Lord. In other words, the word of God, they said, you know, this is where real blessing is. This is where real joy is. This is where real happiness is when I do things the way God wants. So what God says, therefore, I need to love it and look at it. And so I find out how I'm going to make my decisions about my future, whether I'm a young person, older person, wherever I am. This is where the truth is, right here. I need to look at that. It goes in verse 2, blessed are those who keep his testimonies. In other words, if I follow the word of God, do what it says, God says, you will be blessed. It's not a trick or a game or a magic formula. It's the fact God says, I'm watching you. If you keep my word, I will bless you. I will bless you. So again, I have to come back to the whole belief thing over here because I've got to really believe that. If I don't believe that, then I'm going to go try to find happiness on my own, in my own way, doing my own thing, because I really don't believe God's going to bless me. And in fact, we go back to Hebrews 11. I'm still amazed at verse 6, where it says, those who come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. In other words, I must believe that, and I must believe that God wants to reward me. He doesn't have to reward me. He loves me. He wants to reward me. But again, what do I have to be willing to do? Diligently seek him. You say, why is that important? Look at the rest of the second verse. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. With the whole heart. What's that mean? I'm not half-hearted. We talk about somebody being half-hearted. What's it actually mean, whole heart, half heart? What are we talking about? If you were to explain this to me, what would you say? Yes?
You're either all in or you're just
eh. Okay. Okay, you're either all in or eh. That's probably good. And it means I've got one foot in the world and one foot, in the church, more or less, or trying to follow God. And we see, sadly, and I say this carefully, and you folks all here being here today and everything, I appreciate it so much, but the majority of our church is that way. Yeah, majority of our church is that way. I'm trying to straddle both worlds. And you say, why would you say that about our church? I'm not saying that about our church. I'm saying that about all churches. We're finding more. I mean, churches are dwindling. People, they're talking about across America, good fundamental Bible preaching churches are dwindling. Even the big churches, the contemporary churches, are dwindling. Why? Because people are more and more moving into the secular area. Why do I need to go to church? Why do I need to involve myself in being the training and the teaching? Why do I need to do that? I want to do this and I want to do that. And so they're involved in both worlds. I still love the story about the guy that in the Civil War. Don't you love that story? Some of you already know where I'm going before I get there. But the guy, you know, he thought, I don't want to take a side. So he wore a northern coat and southern pants. And he thought, I'll just walk right across the center of the battlefield. Well, the southerners shot him in the coat and northerners shot him in the pants. He got the worst of both ends. And again, that's a perfect illustration, though, of trying to walk in the world and with the Lord. Because the Lord, obviously, has already told you, you're going to have all kinds of problems that come from living in the world. You know, you go to bed with dogs, you get up with fleas. And so the fleas of the world are going to be all over you because you're in the world. Then on the other hand, when you're with believers and all that, you're going to feel guilty because you realize that you're in the world and that's going on and you're not quite all in here. And so everybody's going to say, how come you aren't at church? How come you aren't at youth group? How come you aren't this or that? I mean, you're just going to get it from both sides. And that's why God says whole heart. In other words, there's a point where I've got to see myself before Almighty God where I say, God, I want to search for you when I look at the scriptures. I want to search for you when I look at creation around me. I want to search for you in every endeavor that I go to do. I want to seek you. I want to search for you and find out everything I can find out about you. I want to honor you. I want to live for you with everything that's within me. That's my desire. Now, when you have that kind of desire, how many of you think you can keep that kind of desire 24/7? Okay, so what are you constantly doing? Renewing that commitment. But at the same time, God says when you have a heart that desires to seek after God, He promises, and this is sometimes I forget, He promises that all the other things you are doing, He will bless and they will be successful. It may not even be, you may be working on a vehicle, but you know God can bless so you know what you're doing. God can keep things from breaking down. In fact, you go back to Malachi, and it talks about people who trust God and who tithe. And God says, trust me and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings on you. Then he goes on to say, further, I'll stop the devourer from devouring your crops. Wait a minute. He can do that. He says, I'll bless those things that you touch and you're involved in. So in other words, illness, I won't allow illness to come. All that, things that we don't even think about when we seek God, He says, I'll protect you. I'll keep things that normally would bother you and cost you and everything else. I can make what you've got, even though it's a little, go tremendously farther. I can bless you in so many ways. The big blessing, though, is our relationship with Him when we seek Him wholly. What a great relationship to be able to walk knowing you're, even as Enoch did. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God what? Took him. Moses, God buried him and took him to be with Himself. As you think of Elijah walking closely with God, trusting God, and God blessing him with the miracles to do the different things that he did, as we read those stories and we're amazed at them. Again, Elijah walked with God. He trusted God. He sought God. Even though he was a rough individual to look at on the outside, his heart was still surrendered to God. And so God took him up in a whirlwind. And we stop and think of those individuals walking with God. Noah walking with God, and God gave him a project that was amazing and carried it out and blessed him and his family as he went through it. And so we need to see, when we seek God with our whole hearts, there is a special blessing that comes who seek Him with the whole heart. If you seek Him with a whole heart, notice what happens, and we'll hurry up here. They also do no iniquity. Now, if you're seeking God with your whole heart, how many of you think you're going to be involved in sin? You can't do both at the same time, can you? They walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. In other words, we regularly strive to keep the Word of God, not as works, or not as a thing. You know, it's not do's and don'ts. It's because if I'm seeking God with my whole heart, I want to do everything I can to please Him, don't I? I want to walk in a way that pleases Him. Then it says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. And so the psalmist here, as you read, he's saying, I'm saying this, and yet my own ways, I've got to constantly work on this so that I'm directing my ways to please God and to fit within His statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. That's one of the reasons we don't like to read our Bible, especially if we're living in a way that doesn't please God. You go to read, and everything you read shows you what you've done wrong. You think, man, I think I'll not read, then I won't know I'm not pleasing God. Instead, we just need to change, don't we? And like somebody said, if you're rubbing the cat the wrong way, turn the cat around. All you need to do is turn around, and then you can rub the cat the right way. You don't want to give a cat a bath either. That doesn't work. That's like the little boy came in. He's all scratched up and shirt tore up and everything else. And his mom asked him what he's doing. He said, well, I was having church. And she said, church, why do you look like that? He said, I was trying to baptize the cat. But then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn of your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. And again, there's that point, we were even talking about Peter this morning, where we feel we have failed, where we've got that, when we don't do things just right. But that's where the Bible, what God's saying is, he knows we won't do things perfect. What's he want? He wants me to confess it and forsake it. He wants me to jump right away, where in other words, when I sin, if I say something that hurts Hunter Loggins over here, and I know it, I go right to him, I ask forgiveness, and I ask God for forgiveness, and what? Everything's okay, isn't it? It's made right. If I say something, think something I shouldn't, right then I confess it, and I'm right with God. That's what God wants. What the devil wants is to keep pushing you down so you're constantly dwelling on that thing you didn't say just right, you didn't do just right, and then you're constantly getting lower and lower, and it keeps you away from God, it keeps you away from the Bible, it keeps you away from those things when you just need to confess it and make it right. And that's why he says, oh, don't forsake me utterly. And when you're really close to God, you don't have to do much where you start feeling guilty because small things even mean something to you. But again, you can confess them. And God wants us to rejoice continually. Well, what happens is the next chapter, and don't get worried, I'm going to close. The next chapter, what it does, it's like, okay, now I just told you, here's what you do. Walk close to God, seek God with your whole heart, do all this. Next chapter tells you how. And that's what's neat when you look at it. He says, how can a young man cleanse his way? In other words, how can you do these things we just talked about? I love that. How can you do this? And what's he say? By taking heed according to your word, with my whole heart I have sought you. In other words, by doing what he just told us to do, I'm going to listen to the word of God, I'm going to follow the word of God, I'm going to believe the word of God, I'm going to trust God for who he really is, I'm going to seek him, I'm going to find out who he is, I want to find out more about him, and as I do, God will bless you. If you're a young person, God can set your whole life up, and you could know that each step you make, each decision you make, that it's going to be the right one because you're walking with God, you're trusting him, and you're letting him direct your ways. I love that statement. God gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. And when we're willing to surrender to him and listen to him, he's willing to do that. What's it say on down further? Your word, verse 11, your word have I what? Hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Again, he says, here's how you do it. Take this word, put it in your heart, let it be in the center of your heart as you seek God, and he will bless you. And again, we won't go ahead, but he says in verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts, on the word. In other words, I'll read your word, I'll meditate on it, I'll think, how can I apply this today? How can I use this today? God promises to bless us, and there's so many places he promises that, and yet we still constantly second guess him. We're kind of like the little kid in the back of the classroom that was standing up, and the teacher said, Johnny, sit down. And kept standing up. Johnny, I said, sit down. Kept standing up. So the teacher walks back to the back of the classroom and shoves him down in his seat, turns around, starts to walk away, and he hears him say, I'm still standing up inside. And there's a point where a lot of us are like that. We see what God says. We see he says, do this, And there's that old nature keeps saying, yeah, still want to do it my way because I think I got a better way. And we miss the blessing. Miss the blessing. And when we can put God at the center of our lives and seek Him fully and find the joy that He has to give us. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Father, we rejoice in Your Word. Lord, all of us, doesn't make any difference how old we are. We have that old nature constantly fighting us, wanting to do things our own ways, wanting to make our own direction, wanting us to trust ourselves. And I just pray that, Lord, somehow that sense of commitment, that desire where we make a commitment to seek You and just to find out everything we can about You as we study each of the subjects in school, as we study Your Word, as we look into every aspect, even as we think of harmonious music that, Lord, You have given us and all of those things and how harmony and notes and all of those things are given. As we look at those things and we hear the beauty of them as they're put together, that all is a picture of Your nature. It's a picture of who You are. And I just pray that our minds would be expanded greater and greater every day as we dwell upon You. And in the midst of that, You promise to bless us. And we thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen.